Are you ready to spice things up? Did you know that generous and curious partners use OMG Yes together? 89% of couples reported more pleasurable sex after using AMG Yes. And are you wondering what AMG Yes is? It is an online resource with access to over 300 plus honest and funny interviews, demo videos, animations, infographics, and how-tos. It's for everyone, women, men, and couples. And if you want to learn about angling, squirting, edging, how to use sex toys, or just curious about learning some more stuff, this is the place for you. There's no monthly subscription fee, just a one-time fee. Visit the show notes or thebooniebreakdown.com for more information on OMG Yes.
Hey y'all, it's your girl Boonie, and you're listening to the Boonie Breakdown Podcast, your source for all things responsible and ratchet.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome to this week's episode of the Boonie Breakdown Podcast. It's a good one. It is deliciously, ratchetly, responsibly amazing. That's the only way I can describe this episode. It's a good one. I love when episodes take an unexpected turn. They have a great conversation. So in this one, our guest this week, Erica Easter, and I have a great conversation about her breast cancer diagnosis, how she worked through her treatment, what was her motivating force for healing, for pushing through. And I got up all in her business. And she was great about letting me get all up in her business, because I had to ask her, like, were you still having sex while you were going through therapy? Like, did your desire and all that stuff go away? But she's very was honest and open about how her cancer diagnosis and treatment and beating cancer's ass changed her life. Now also, we make a very interesting discovery about ourselves in this episode. And because I love y'all so much, and I said it was responsibly, deliciously ratchet this episode, we're keeping it the fuck in the episode. I promise you, I know I say it every week, but I promise you, you want to stick around for this conversation. We're going to hop right into my pick of the week. Patreon gang already knows this because we've been going in on it. But my pick of the week this week is The Traitors. I'm late to the game. I did not watch season one, but I started with season two. And if you've ever played the game The Mafia, it's like a game. You know, you've played it with your friends. My friends and I play it a few times. We play it often. We like it. We're fans of the game. The Traitors is essentially a game show, reality show that's based off of the concept of the game of Mafia, if you've played it. It's so good. Alan Cummings is so fucking dramatic as the host, but he's also the perfect host for that show. And season two, all of the players on the show are former reality show stars. So you have a bunch of housewives, you have Big Brother people, Survivor people, Below Deck people, people from The Bachelor, even some of our old friends from the MTV Real World Challenge days are on the show. But it's a really good game of mystery, psychological play, and backstabbing. It's so good. Patreon gang and I, we've been talking about it over in the Discord, and I'm loving it. And I love it so much that now I'm going back and simultaneously watching season one as I'm watching season two. But check it out, The Traitors, over on Peacock.
Housekeeping. Housekeeping.
Come back later, please.
Housekeeping?
Not now.
All right, housekeeping. Last week we had an episode with friend of the pod, Vanessa Evagesteem, and someone that was like, Boonie, this episode was good. You were so right. We all needed a refresher on our sex ed. But I gotta admit, I haven't seen all of the BB content. All the BB content that you had mentioned, but nonetheless, it's too much. And I agree with you and Vanessa. People need to put the fucking cameras down and just live fucking life. So if you did not check out last week's episode, go ahead back, Sex Ed Refresher with Vanessa Evagesteem. It's a fun conversation. And you know where else you can see Vanessa and I together in person? At the Sex Ed Pop-Up, February 10th, I will be there selling merch. You know, my merch is a little cheaper when I do it in person. Also, we will be doing a small little 15-minute segment on the Boonie Live on the main stage. So you want to head on over to sexedpopup.com to grab your tickets. I think early bird pricing is done. done, done, done. But Vanessa's done a really good job in securing giveaways and all the great things for this event. So I hope I see you there. And like I said, Ratcheteer Gang, just go ahead and wear your merch so you can be identified in the crowd. All right. You know how to do. You guys never let me down. So I hope to see some of you there. And if you are not local to Baltimore or to the DMV, then I believe Vanessa is selling a virtual ticket for the main stage. So you can at least see some of the stuff on the main stage as well. So just again, head on over to sexedpopup.com and we'll see you there. You want to know what else is important for you guys to know? There's only 4 more episodes in season 13 of the Boonie Breakdown podcast. That's right. We're wrapping this season up. 4 episodes left. The season will run through the end of February, and we are going back on hiatus. You know what I do? But I can't believe this season went so quick. We started in October, and here we are. Even though January been taking long as fuck. Like, January is always the longest fucking month of the year. It takes 6 months for January to go by, and the rest of the months, get the fuck up out of here. But anywho, 4 more episodes left. If this is your first time listening, welcome. I appreciate you. The doors of the Boonie Breakdown are open. And so we invite you to partake in this fellowship, to join the Ratcheteer Gang. And you can follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, at the Boonie Breakdown. You can follow us over on Twitter at Boonie Breakdown, right? You can share these reels. You can tag it. You can put it in your group chat. You can drop the link to the podcast episode. Just push, get that word out there. That's all we're about here. Spreading the word and the good gospel of the responsible and ratchet lifestyle. All right. I am ridiculous, but I think that's it. Yeah, that's it for me. So let's get ready to break it down. Hey guys, so we're here with a new episode, and I always love when I have new guests and people I know in real life and people who are my sororers. These are all of us like, check, check, check. So welcome Erica Easter to the podcast. Hey girl.
Thank you for having me. I'm actually really excited about this.
I know. And it's funny, I did your podcast like 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's been a minute, but you have actually, you were introduced to me through another soror of ours. Wow. And I've always followed you. And in my mind, you were always my homie. And then we met and talked. And I was like, oh, no, this bitch is really my homie. We curse, right?
Yes, we curse.
I'm pretty sure I've heard you curse. But anyway, this bitch is my homie. And I say bitch in the most loving terms ever. If
the
not.
Only way.
Okay. I'm like, if you know, I respect.
No one just be like that bitch.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so I'm like, this bitch is my homie. So I'm so happy we can actually do this. So
yes, I'm excited. She gonna let me get all up in her business a little bit. So, yeah, I want to ask you too. Why did you guys walk away from your podcast? Her podcast was The Turn On.
Yes.
It was so sophisticated. They ran like a really sophisticated shop over there.
That was all my co-host. So my co-host actually has her shit together. I just be on some vibes. I just be on some, like, I bring the energy. I bring the mood. Kenria brought the actual structure, because we would not have lasted as long as we did had it not been for her. It just stopped getting fun, you know? And this was around, we stopped right around the time that Desus and Meryl broke up. And there are a few other people we can talk offline, like, that are still currently together as a podcast duo, but behind the scenes, they fucking hate each other.
Yes. But the money is rolling.
Exactly. And Kenria is one of my good, like, I tell Kenria's daughter all the time, I saw you before your mama saw you, like, held her leg and was like, oh, look, that's a baby coming out. And I'm like, I don't want that to get in the way. And so when it stopped being fun and felt like work, I was like, I don't want to do this, because I think that's when things start getting icky. Also, Kenria had some health challenges, and little did I know that I was about to face some health challenges. Literally, the moment I start talking, my dog is like back
isn't
there.
That, isn't that naturally how it
she's,
goes?
She's sleeping, and I guess she's like having a whole something happened in her sleep.
Tremor.
So I apologize. But yeah, so it just got to the point where it just stopped being fun. And, you know, God knows, he knew that I was about to fight, you know, face some shit and needed to focus my attention on me and my health. And so literally our last episode was in September of 2022. And I got diagnosed again with stage 4 breast cancer, like later that month. So it was just like,
yo, timing, man.
Girl, he be knowing.
It's the same thing. I've been saying this a lot, and I've been thinking about, like, what does the end of this podcast look like? Because mm-hmm. I feel like I'm nearing it. Mm-hmm. And maybe it transitions into something else. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm, and the people hearing this may be shock and awe, but it is a little daunting sometimes when you're sharing and producing and you don't see number, you don't see growth, right? That fucks with your mind. Like,
no, and as much as you. Expensive?
It is. This is not cheap. And
yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not cheap. And so I too took a big hiatus last year where I said, okay, this season I'm doing right now was going to be like, am I going to do it a little longer or are I packing it up? Because.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just starts to wear on you after a while. And like you said, when it starts to become like work, it's not fun anymore. And this was really fun to do. And so I was been trying to find ways to keep it fun and light for me because I don't want this to feel like a second job.
So I will say for me, I like doing it made me realize that I just want to be talent. And doing the show production, because with our show, we had like two, each episode was like packaged in like two episodes. Yeah. So we would do the episode where we would read the book. And so we had to find books, which is hard as fuck because we wanted our books to be, you know, we didn't want like shit that was conventionally written. We wanted stuff that was inclusive. The one time we had a guy author on our show, literally like the moment we published the episode, found out the nigga was problematic. So then we're like, oh my, you know, so it's like, it's hard finding content. And then you got to get it approved. And then you got to read, we would read the entire book. Well, Kimmy would read the entire book. A lot of times I was just like, girl, what's this?
Skimmed it.
Exactly. and so then you read the book. And then you have to like structure the episode. Then you have to find guests. And then we would have to edit our episodes. We would send, we would do transcripts. So then we'd have to, it was just.
Tell the people. Like, so it's so much
work. Like this piece, great. And I say all the time, if anyone's listening and they want someone to podcast for them, and I have the backing of like a network, by all means, drop me in.
A network could be a game changer, honestly. I just said this in another episode with somebody. Like,
yeah, like
a network could be a game changer. I mean, for me, that probably would put the fun back. It would take some of the pressure off. But yeah. So timing, your life. You walked away from podcasting because you had a breast cancer diagnosis. And it's the second one, am I correct?
Yeah. So I was initially diagnosed with breast cancer in December of 2019. So I go home to visit my family in St. Louis every year. This story is going. I tell a lot of stories. So we're going to be here for a minute.
Let's go.
So I go home to visit my family every year for Thanksgiving. And I make it a point to get back here to D.C. home. And on Saturday, I'm like, I want to beat all the traffic, all that, you know, all the horrible airline traffic. So I get back home on Saturday. Saturday mornings, I'm on the first flight out. I get home. I'm in bed by like 10 a.m. every Saturday after Thanksgiving. That particular Saturday, got home, showered, changed, crawl in bed. I don't know what the fuck I was doing. I think I was probably about to masturbate or something.
That sounds right.
Touched my titty and felt a lump and was like, what the fuck? So I live in a house. Kenria, my co-host, lives upstairs. So I literally, like, in pajamas, put on a robe, knocked on her door, like, feel my titty. Like, there's something weird here. Da-da-da-da-da, find out it's cancer. Like, it just blew my fucking mind. Had no idea, like, I don't have a family history of cancer. Actually, this what I felt in my breast wasn't even a cancerous tumor. It was just a cyst. But when they did the ultrasound, my doctor knows me. It was like, Erica, she's anal. She ain't going to go for just the mammogram. So she's requested a mammogram and ultrasound. Mammogram, came back clear. They were like, looks fine, but we're going to do the ultrasound because your doctor requested it. The ultrasound showed cancerous, showed cells in my breast in a different area. So again, God be knowing. He was like, bitch, I got to get your attention. This is how I'm going to do it. So that was like all around the holiday season. And then I had my double mastectomy scheduled for January 30th of 2023.
Okay.
Okay. So January 2020, had my double mastectomy scheduled. Did that. And after they did that, they found a pathology that showed that I needed to do chemo. So at the time, I was like 38, 39. And so my doctor was like, you haven't had children. I have a son. He's not my biological son. She was like, you haven't had children. I was recently divorced. She was like, you should probably freeze your eggs in case you want to have children. So I was like, okay. So then I went through that whole process, which I don't see how people do that shit voluntarily.
Listen, my friend, I watched my friend do that recently. And I'm like, not interested. Like,
ma'am,
I'm not interested.
I was at the Danny that works at, they used to work at the Modern Nails in Pentagon City. I apologize. I went there and literally had a fucking meltdown because they did not have the polish color that I wanted. I was like just miserable and angry. It was all the hormones and I didn't realize it. After my surgery, I had these drains. So essentially I was walking around looking like Predator. You have like these drains that are coming out of your body to like help drain the fluid. And these motherfuckers get on, because you walk around with these drains and I had this little belt and you just hang the little, and you're like walking around with these little bottles.
That's so
and, like,
much.
Fucking flip body. It's the worst.
It's
shit,
like, but you just had like lipo 360.
Yeah, it was. We'll get into that later. But yeah, so I had that. I fucking hated the drains. And I remember I went to my doctor and you record your drain output. And after a while, when you get so like, when it hits certain levels, then they can take the drains out. And I remember I went to my doctor, walked in there. I was like, if you don't take these motherfucking drains out today, I'm going to do it right now in front of you. And I don't give a fuck. And she was like, you must be freezing your eggs.
She was like, those injections that you have to pump those hormones
up. It just had me all over the place. So did that. And then I had to start chemo. So I started chemo literally the Thursday before DC shut down for COVID. So I had one chemo session with my girlfriends. We were like, Erica's going to get through chemo. And then we did it. And then after that, they were like, yeah, you can't do this.
No one can come.
To come alone. You have to do it by yourself. And then I did chemo pretty much like the girl in the bubble. I always joke, all my girlfriends was stressed out and tripping when I found out I had cancer. I'm like, y'all going to be kicking it all summer without me. I'm going to be walking around.
You shut it down.
I shut down the whole fucking. They were like, Erica, next time, ask God to just chill out. I say all the time I'm God's favorite. He was like, you won't have FOMO.
Everybody's going to have FOMO.
Everyone's going to be fucked up about their eyebrows and hair. Don't you worry. Because everybody was like, it was a mess, but I loved it.
It was a mess.
So I did that, got through that, and thought everything was okay. You know, after breast cancer, you do certain treatments to kind of reduce the cancer, the possibility of recurrence, all that. And I thought it was fine. I had a number of reconstructive surgeries, and I remember I'm about to tell y'all my business, but you know.
I'm all here like.
So I went to Sex Down South. Are you familiar with that conference?
Yeah, the conference. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fucking love Sex Down South. Went to Sex Down South and, okay. So I went to Sex Down South.
What happened at Sex Down South?
Went to it. So I was in this, Sex Down South approaches sex in all the ways, right? Yes. Like they say you can be an enthusiast, you can be a scholar. So, you know, I do the scholarly, like from Jezebel to Mammy, you know, presentations and workshops. But I also went to a workshop about face fucking. And so I'm at this face fucking seminar with my homeboy. And we're watching it, and I'm like, God damn, they showing it all. Like, we was like, tell the bitch in the next room to be quiet. Come to find out, it was a fisting seminar. that they were a little loud about. But watching this Facebook seminar, it was great. And so I'm like, let's act on this. So we go into the bathroom at the hotel, have sex. We were in like one of them little stalls. And okay. So like we was getting it in. So we leave the stall and I'm like, got a crick in my neck. But I'm like, I'll deal with it when I get back. So sex down south ends, get home, and I have a fucking crick in my neck. So I'm like, you know what? I am going to go to my, to get the Thai massage.
Anticipation. I'm like, what was it?
Yeah. So I go to get a Thai massage and I'm there and the woman puts me on my stomach. And when she lays me on my stomach, it just feels weird. I'm like, now, and I had been feeling a little off. I thought it was like acid reflux or something. But I'm like, okay, now you fucking with my sex life and my massages. We got to go check in with the doctor. So I go to my doctor, my primary care doc, not even thinking anything of it, just go to my primary care doc. I'm like, hey, like, this is weird. What's going on? And she's like, yeah, she was essentially in so many words, bitch, you're getting old. You probably need to pop a Pepcid every day, which I get. But at the same time, I'm on a lot of medicine and I'm allergic to a lot of things. So I'm like, I would rather we run some tests and then you tell me everything's okay than just being like, this guessing. Is what you need to do. Yeah. Right. So she ordered an ultrasound, go do the ultrasound. And the woman's like, yeah, you'll hear from your doctor. I didn't think anything of it because when I flash back to when I first got diagnosed with breast cancer, I walked out that day knowing I had cancer. In so many words, the woman wouldn't tell me, but she was just like, they talked to you a certain kind of way. And, you know, so there was that. So I didn't think anything of it. So time passed. My doctor calls me on a fucking Saturday. Like, why would you call me on a Saturday? You can't do shit. She's like, yeah, well, we see masses on your liver. Bitch, what? Masses on my liver? And she's like, yeah, you should do further testing. I'm like, well, I literally just happened to have an appointment with my oncologist that week. But that appointment was just my normal check-in. And my oncologist, as a matter of fact, was moving. She was like leaving the practice. And when I found out she was leaving the practice, my stupid ass, there's power in the tongue. My stupid ass was like, I'd be so mad if I was in the middle of treatment and you leave me. Ha, 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 ha. And literally.
Bitch, you gotta be careful what you're putting out here.
Bitch, I'm God's favorite. I am God's favorite. So even when I speak bad things, good things happen. So anyway, so I go to her and I'm like, yo, this. So I call her that Monday, like, yo, this is what happened. So they rush all these tests. Come to find out it is metastatic breast cancer. So essentially what happens is the breast cancer came back to my liver. So it's not liver cancer, it's just like breast cancer cells on my liver. So I go into my doctor and it's literally like, shit's just moving fast. Like she tells me, like I go in and see her on a Thursday and she hands me a sheet of paper with a bunch of dates. And I'm like, what's this? She's like, yeah, you start chemo on Monday. Bitch, what?
Damn.
And I went to Howard. So this was literally like Howard homecoming weekend. So I'm like, and it was my line's 20th anniversary. So we're supposed to be like out, like kicking it, turning up. And I am just like, feeling damn. Like I'm on death row because I'm starting chemo on Monday. So it was a lot. And everything moved so fast that I couldn't even like take anything in. Like one of the things you hear a lot with cancer survivors is, there's so much support at the beginning, but when you're finished, everyone assumes that you're good.
You're good.
That's when you fall the fuck apart.
I literally was just reading this article, and this was a couple weeks ago, and it was saying how this person was making a case for why they should stop ringing the bell at the end of chemo, because they were saying like it's become this big thing that people share it on social media. So when they see you ringing the bell, everyone's like, oh, they're all clear. They're good. Great. We're done.
That is like your support.
They were like, your support system unravels because everyone has symbolized ringing that bell with we're done. I'm going to survive. I'm going to live. And mm-hmm. that happened to us. Our like chapter president, she rang the bell. She had pancreatic cancer.
Oh, that's a rough one.
But she rang the bell. Everybody's like, yay. And a month later.
Yeah.
So after reading that article, I was like, I could see why one would make that case.
Yeah. And so I had to do chemo twice. The first time I did chemo, I didn't ring the bell just because I don't want to say it wasn't a big deal to me, but like it was just like, okay, this was a thing. There's still so many more things that have to happen in order for me to be done. So when I finished chemo, I still had expanders in. So essentially the best way to describe an expander is like imagine a Capri Sun pouch. They put Capri Sun pouches in your titties. I am the worst at explaining shit. Put them in your titties.
But I get the visual because
exactly. And then every week I would go into my plastic surgeon. She had this big ass syringe. She'd find the little port. She'd hold a little magnet and boop. That's where the metal port is. And she'd fill it and it'd pump up your boobs to the size that you want. So I had expanders in, and then they take the expanders out and another surgery and put your implants in. So I had
that is kind of incredible, actually.
Modern medicine is amazing. Like the one thing that I've learned going through this, modern medicine is amazing.
So you said you had a double mastectomy.
Yeah.
And now you've had reconstruction implants and stuff or.
I had implants and then I did radiation. So when I did radiation, again, we were still in COVID. We were still not really understanding what it was like. And so my doctor, I essentially had two courses of action. I could do a longer kind of slower radiation, which would have been less radiation over a longer period or a more intense radiation over a shorter period. My doctor didn't want me, and radiation is every single day. My doctor didn't want me in the hospital every day for 7 weeks, wow, as opposed to, I think it was like 3 or 4 weeks. So I did the shorter radiation and it fucked my skin up. Imagine putting like, when you put like raw chicken in the microwave and it like gets all tough and rubbery. That's essentially what this right titty looked like. And so I had implants and this implant gave me so many problems. One time my implant was in and I had a wild night. We was fucking. Ooh. And I woke up the next morning. I was like, this titty don't look right. Something is wrong with this titty. So I go to my doctor. Girl, why did I fuck the titty flip? Why did I like flip the titty? Like fuck the implant out of place.
Now, what kind of sex was y'all having that your titty implant?
And the nigga was like, damn, I ain't never done that. I'm like,
not too much, boo.
But yeah, like, so it was just issue after issue after issue. So then I was talking to my doctor because you also hit this place of like, I had great titties before this. And my love language is nudes. I love taking pictures of my body. I love a good makeup photo. And so like, I was trying not to chase perfection, but also wanted to be comfortable in my body. So my doctor recommended that I do this procedure called a deep flap. And it's DEIP, deep flap. It stands for something, but essentially what they do like a tummy tuck. So you know how with a tummy tuck, they cut you from here to here mm-hmm. and then they take the fat off. Pull your tummy down and throw the fat away. Instead of throwing that fat away, they turn that fat into your titties. So they took out my implants and now I'm like a member of the itty bitty titty committee because although I was like, I've been training for this moment all my life because I did have a good amount of tummy fat, but not as much, not those voluptuous D's that I had before. And so we then did a deep flap, which essentially took the stomach fat and turned them into my breasts. So I no longer have implants and I just have like titty fat, stomach fat as my titties, which.
You prefer the implant?
Huh?
You prefer the implant?
I prefer the look of the implant. I don't prefer the issues that come with all of it, gotcha. You know, and thank God I'm finally getting feeling back to my titties.
I was to ask you that because you talking about fucking. So, like, is there sensation there? If someone girl, is playing with your nipples or something?
All,
like,
it's all decorative at this point. I'd be, girl, they'd be going to town. I'd be like, I hope you're having a good time because I'm just here.
That's crazy. So, okay. Yeah. You were talking about you were in treatment. You was getting it in the bathroom and sex at Sex Down South. So, yeah. Like, throughout your treatment, because like you're a very sexual person, you like to get it in. Like,
was that something you felt like was taken away from you, or did you still have the desire and space and place to have a sex life? Or was it like, let me focus on beating cancer's ass? But for me, because like, I know for me, and I did not have cancer, but like, it is stress relief. Like, sometimes you just need your back to work out. So like, for me, I feel like if you were going through something like that, I'm going to need something happening good and pleasurable often to kind of balance this out.
Well, yeah. And so I am single. I got divorced in 2018 and I did a lot of work on myself, like a lot of work. And so much so, I ain't fucking up this work for nobody. Like, and so until this shit is perfect, until it, and I don't expect perfection, but until it is a situation that is perfect for me, I ain't going there. That don't mean I ain't fucking. Right. And so I was single. And so for me, I definitely was having sex, but going through this provided me, got me to a level of just freedom that the sex is amazing. Like, great now, because I don't give a fuck. I recognize that life is too short to be hung up on anything. And granted, I did deal with, and I still do deal with from time to time, like feelings of like, who wants the cancer girl? Or, you know, like, I got this big ass scar and all these, you know, like these scars from just random shit. I run into a wall or something, I end up with this huge bruise because my skin is different and I bruise differently. And there's all of that that I kind of get hung up in. But then I have to remind myself, like, in the words of, what's the sprinkle girl?
Oh.
Men will fuck anything. Like, men will fuck anything. And so I'm so caught up in my head that I can't even enjoy this. And that ain't doing anybody a favor. And so, yeah, girl, I'm getting it in. Like, during treatment the first time, no. Only because it was COVID. We didn't know. Yeah. Low, you know, like all of that. But first time I ever squirted was my first time having sex post, like, everything. And honey, I was bald as a naked mole rat. Like, no hair, no eyebrows, no... That's the best thing.
That actually probably was amazing that you had no hair down there.
Bitch, best thing about chemo, like, my skin was amazing. I'd like get out the shower and like, and then I always have short hair. So a bitch look good, bald. It was just figuring out the eyebrow thing. But girl, and the first time I had sex, bitch, I know this man thought he was doing something. And I was like, again.
It wasn't you, was confident.
It could have been anybody. It could have been anybody. Right. But, and so, yeah, sex is one of those things that I need, I require. And going through this, I have been so much better. Just healed Erica also with the perspective of all the shit that I've been through. I've been so much better at seeking out partners, either sexual just for sex or just to date, that care for me and support me and are affirming. And so all of my partners are like, they love this shit, scars and all.
I love that for you.
Uh-huh, girl.
That's amazing.
My current boo, he loved you know, playing with my little tummy. And I'm like, bruh, there's this big ass like scar here. He'd be like, that's fine. He's rub on it. I'm like, okay, boo, whatever.
Listen, I have a big ass scar on my belly. I had an open appendectomy because my appendix ruptured.
And he was like, get that bitch out.
So literally, I have a cut from my belly button down to like pretty much my pussy. They took out my guts and my intestines and had to clean it, all that shit. So it is amazing to me as well, because it's one of the things I'm just like, I told my surgeon, like, once I came out of the drug fog of like what happened to me, I was like, now why the fuck y'all ain't just give me no tummy tuck? Y'all could have just like, click, click.
Yeah, like, bruh,
got this roll and this scar, like. And so yeah. I had this one guy, he used to just like, before I like it flattened all the way out, because I was like rubbing the cocoa butters and the mango butters,
yeah,
and it was still lumpy from the stitches,
he would just be like, because yeah, like, I'm shit. Like, why are you playing with the scarf?
They love that shit. And that's another thing that I realized, like, some of the things that I am the most self-conscious about, like, girl, they love it. Damn, or, man. And it, like, it makes me realize that, like, it ain't that damn bad. Like, you're good. This is not bad.
It's not. And so you said you were single, because I'm single too. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, the men out here right now.
So
I don't know. And here's the thing. And I'm trying to break this because I do enjoy fucking. Like, I like to have good sex. I had gotten to this point where it's just like, I don't even want to be bothered with the interaction of you if it's not even going to be good.
I have no patience.
Like, none.
For anything. And I saw a TikTok and it hit home so hard because it was like, men are not competing against other men. You're competing against my peace. Like, I...
Say that.
I have... And most men get the same speech from me every time we go on a date. I like to say, look, my life, I have curated a life that is like the most amazing plate of food. The mashed potatoes are perfect. The steak is amazing. The veggies are cooked perfectly. All I want from you is to be gravy on an amazing fucking life. Like, that's all I need. Are you there? I feel like
I'm here. Okay, yeah. Listen, I say this all the time. At this point, you have to add too, right? Like you said, I have a...
Girl, give me a weighted blanket and a vibrator and I'm good. That's all I need. And so any man coming to my... Any partner man, I mean, I'm open. I think I am.
I was gonna pin in that.
Oh, I mean, I don't have anything to, you know, confirm, but I'm like, at this point, fuck it. Maybe something.
Because that's what I'm saying. I've been noticing, and it's not a trend, but I do know people in real life and mm-hmm. people I don't know who I had always just assumed were heterosexual. And now the women are like, fuck it. Where the bitches at?
Right. Where the hoes at? And my therapist is a lesbian. She was married, all that, came out of a horrible relationship. So every time I complain about man, she'd be like, you just need a woman. I'd be like, that is not how we solve my problems. But, you know, it's been great. So, I have curated an amazing life. And I see how quickly shit can turn on a dime. I have faced death in the face and said, nah, bitch, not now. And so for that reason, my tolerance for it, bullshit is low. Like I have a little friend that I'm dealing with. And it is amazing because he brings a sense of like peace and calm and just ease. And I know we talk about soft girl life and ease and all that, but no, I really mean like, I don't have to worry about shit. Like I went to this man's house the other day and told him, I forgot to pick up some laundry detergent. He was like, oh, I went to Costco and got a bunch. Get a couple from the garage and take it home with you.
Thank you.
Get your dicks up. Why? Because and not on some like bird. Well, it is some bird shit, but fuck it.
But you know what it is? What it is.
But like, it's just, it's ease. It's like, I don't want anything to be difficult. Cause life is so fucking hard. Side note, I hate mean girls. I hate mean girls.
I hate nasty, nice people too.
Yeah, because life is hard as fuck already. Why am I looking to someone that looks like me, understands all the shit I've gone through and been mean and you're being mean?
And I don't need that, right? Like, I'm with you. Ease. It's little shit. Put the trash out for me. Put the trash out for me.
Yes, take the trash out on your way out.
Yeah, listen. They know you coming here, you doing something. Oh, box upstairs. Can you bring
girl
in the garage? Can you build that shelf for me and bring something. It? Like, it's something here that needs to be done. And if not, because, I will find something.
Because guess what? My presence adds something to your life. your presence is going to add something to my life. You know,
and that just seems like so bottom rung. Like, I don't think that's a hard, heavy lift.
And yeah. I'm not asking for something stupid. Like, I ain't asking you to build a house. Take the fucking trash out on your way out. Because 9 times out of 10 is full of some food that I done cooked that you probably took a play home or ate. You know, like, it's just. So anyway, yeah. So my tolerance for anything is so low. I was actually talking to my therapist about this recently because I don't even do spirited conversations with my girlfriends anymore. Like, I have a group chat and some of it's trauma where I'm just like, I avoid all conflict, but some of it is just, I don't want to. And so we were talking about something and I was like, well, this is how I feel. And it was something that we all had a lot of, you know, there was a lot of opinion and very varied opinion. But at the same time, like, all right, well, y'all know how I feel. This is just some hypothetical situation. Ain't got shit to do with nobody. So call me when y'all start sending dick pics to the group again, because I am out, you know. So yeah. It's just, I want ease in everything.
I'm with you. I wholeheartedly support anyone who can make my life better.
Yep.
Can make it more joyful, more fun, more pleasurable. I'm all in.
And that's how I want that out of every relationship. Every relationship I have. I mean, one of my girlfriends told me, she was like, when I'm with you, I feel free. Mm-hmm. And to me, that was like the highest compliment that I could get. And I want to make sure that not only am I imparting that upon people, and that's the thing that I bring, but each relationship that I have brings a little bit of something like that to me. You know, like, it may not be washing powders, it may be something different, but like, it's just, I want to make sure that I have a beautiful life. I want a delicious life. I want a succulent, delicious, juicy mango juice running down your hands, so good you slurping in public, don't give a fuck what people thinking about life. Like, that is what I want out of life.
That sounds fucking amazing to me. Shit.
And that's what we're building. That's what we're building, right? And I have curated. I mean, like, I'm looking around my office right now in my house. This is the house I moved into after I divorced. Every single thing, with the exception of my son's room, which is a whole nother situation, every single thing is there because I want it there. That is what I want. Is how I look. I mean, so I remember when you moved into your current place and you were talking about all the things. And I'm like, I know that feeling so well, because it's just, this is mine. This is my space. This is my den.
Yeah. That's what I'm with. Like, I always tell people when they come over and they're like, oh my God, your house is so comfortable. And like, it feels like a hug. And I was like, that's literally what I said to the designer for spaces that I use the designer. I was like, I want people to come in here and feel like they're being hugged. Mm-hmm. I want it to be warm. I want it to be comfortable. This is why I don't be outside like that, because it's too damn cold. It's cool in here. It's
all this money I spent on this spot.
Damn money's worth. Shit.
Exactly.
So no, I'm rocking with it. Yeah, it's funny because you were talking about pleasure, like, and I was just saying, like, I've been struggling with it because I want all the orgasms, but I really don't want to deal with some of these men. Like, I just don't want the interaction. And so I literally just sent, and I haven't done this in a while, but I literally just sent a friends with benefits proposition to somebody, like, look, can we just make this work?
Girl, I had
in
one.
This capacity.
So I go through these moments where I get on the apps.
Baby girl.
I get on the apps and then I'm on the app for like a day and a half.
Me too.
And I'm like, oh, no, delete. Because one, I'm getting like haze from niggas that I already know. Or I don't know why my Zoom is doing that. I need
that
like
is so cool. You got the fancy features.
I need to anti-black girl it because I talk with my hands and then it's always like doing shit. And I'm like, what is happening? But anyway, so it's someone that I've already fucked with or am kind of currently fucking with. And then they're like, hey, I see you. You see me. And I'm like, but this is weird. Just block me and act like you don't see me. Or it's like somebody that I keep seeing on the apps. And I'm just like, you know what? So anyway.
Now that you say that, I'm going to ask you a name after we stop. We may be Eskimo sisters.
Put a note down. Put a note down.
I'll put it in the chat. Let's see.
Okay. So, yeah. Yup.
Okay.
And he do good work.
Huh?
He does good work.
Yeah, I am mad at it.
Oh. He does good work. I am mad. Look. We're going to talk offline. But yeah. A good one. So anyway. So, wow.
That is hilarious. We're
So I met a guy. Similar situation, and we had like one date, and it was very clear that we were not like compatible, but broad, like he was younger, had a whole bunch of kids. Like it was not the situation. But I saw this man and said, you know what? You ain't got a lot happening, but I'm sure you can lay some pipe.
I mean, sometimes that's enough.
And literally sent him a text and was like, look, I have things happening. You have things happening, but we don't live far from one another. When you free, holla at me. When I'm free, I'm going to holla at you. And we're going to make it do what it do. And when I tell you, it was just a lovely situation because it was literally on some like, hey, I'm busy, but I got like 45 minutes between meetings. Can I come by real quick? Great. Boom.
That's literally what I need right now.
And it was perfect. And we didn't even like, because also I think I don't say we as in you, but like, I think we're taught that like men relationships are supposed to be our everything. I'm the first person to tell you my friends are my soulmates. Like
1,000%.
Like,
it's the one thing Carrie Bradshaw, was it? No, it was Charlotte who said it. It was the one thing Charlotte said, like, you know, we're each other's soulmates and maybe these guys are just people to date from time to time, whatever she
said. Exactly.
1,000%.
And so I don't need, like, I can get hugs from my girlfriends. I can get, like, one of my best friends, we do amazing vacations. I can get all of the other things. Sometimes I just want some dick. I need to be tossed,
licked, rubbed down,
licked. And feel a pendant dangling in my face.
I just want to be hitting my head with a charm.
Exactly. That's all I want. And like the rest I can get from my girlfriends. And I don't need this one person or this man to come in and be my end all be all. And once I got comfortable with that, bitch. The pussy was just.
Because I had to ask my gynecologist.
Ooh.
I said, I'm not going to say her name because I want people in my business. Dr. So-and-so, something's wrong with me. And she said, what? I said, I feel like I have the hormones of a teenage boy. I want to have sex all the time. And she's like, it's nothing wrong with you. That's nature. Like, she said, your ass is getting old. Your body's like, you got one last chance. Get pregnant. So she was like, that's why your hormones go crazy as women age, because your body's preparing for menopause. And I'm like, oh, thank you for an explanation, because I literally want to have sex all the time.
And now, so you're hit with these teenage hormones. You got real money. You got your own place. Bitch, this is a fucking recipe for disaster. I hope you taking your birth control or doing something, because
my hormones,
or if not, fetus deletus.
I'm really like, I had to ask her because I was like, this can't be right. Like, and she's like, no, she's like, and you're not even 40 yet. Like,
yeah,
she's like, she's gonna keep going, and I'm like, it gets worse. She's like, yeah, no, your sex drive, women's sex. She's like, it's going to keep going. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't take it.
I did not know that's the reason, but I,
but yeah, that was,
I'm
her
totally for it.
That was her biological explanation as to why our hormones rev up, because it's your body's last ditch effort.
Nope. No, thank you. I'll pass. No, thank you.
My factory has shut down.
I have a girlfriend who's a pastor, and she always tells me, she's like, the clitoris was made by God. He intended for it to be for pleasure. And I always say that to women as they think about like the whole having babies. And I'm like,
it's literally the only thing it does.
Literally. It is there.
It's not to feed anybody. It's not to nourish you. Well, it nourishes you in other ways. Well, that's all it's for.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I totally agree. Yeah. So, so all that to say,
you're healed. These niggas not shit.
Yeah. No. Yeah, exactly. Healed. Niggas ain't shit. We're Eskimo sisters. There's that. Yeah.
What a funny revelation. And it's funny because I was like, did not think I was going to bring him now, but I was going to ask you only because I saw you like his picture one time.
Oh, like, okay. You know, I had to stop. And so fuck it. So I had to like mute him.
Uh-huh.
Sweet guy. Lil Hotepi.
That's literally his nickname with my friends.
Mine too. That or anti-vax.
Literally his nickname with my friends is Hotep.
Yeah. And so I was like, you know what? I can't like social media really be doing one on them. Right on men, because you'd be like, oh, you really think that you really
believe? Or a lot of people, they just believe anything that's
so we follow one another, but I couldn't tell you too much about the goings. So I must have been digging if I liked something, only because it was like, yeah, I can't see your stories, because there's only so many times I'm gonna watch something about like, you know,
flat earth.
Because
I literally have, this is so terrible to say out loud. Don't judge me, y'all. I literally will debate flat earth and then have bomb sex.
Right? Or be like, bitch, I got cancer. And then mom would be like, you need to be juicing and fast. And I'm like, uh-huh, yeah. No. Oh, yeah, because... Baby, I'm not gonna convince you of anything. So you just do your thing. I'm gonna do mine. You gonna enjoy this.
But my Sagittarius nature, I'm like, send me more videos. I hate it. I can't help myself. And I indulge it, but
yeah, I
don't believe
it at all. That is so funny. Yep. He was
hilarious. Okay.
Tip. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my God, that is so funny.
Literally, any of my friends, I'll be like, that's his nickname.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
But damn, he can do. He can. Yeah. Let's have a moment of silence.
Claps for it. Oh my God, wow. I love you even more now. We're at the part of the podcast where we do the breakdown. I'm gonna say a word.
Okay.
You say the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
Sound, phrase, anything.
Okay.
First one, Black women.
Delicious. Just, oh, I wish I could get, like, I don't like pussy, but I wish I did.
Because I totally would be with the Black women.
Yeah. We are fucking beautiful. We smell good. We're soft. We're just, oh, yummy. Black women are yummy. Yeah.
Next one, money.
Dick. I don't know why that came to mind, but I'm just like.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
Safety.
Ooh, Black women.
Orgasms.
The first thing that came to, like, I got an image of, like, sparkles, like, just glitter and sparkles.
Glitters and sparkles. Pleasure.
Necessary.
Therapy.
Necessary.
Orgasms.
Necessary, bitch.
And last one, mm-hmm. Titties.
Oh, I miss mine. I miss my titties. I had great titties. So it was so funny. I was going through some messages. Kenria was fucking amazing when I got diagnosed. Like, again, God be knowing. When I divorced, I called Kenria and was like, you know, it'd be really cool if we lived near each other. Not thinking that we'd live in the same fucking house. She literally lives in the apartment upstairs. And so the moment I found out I had cancer, she was with me for every single appointment. And so after every appointment, right, Kenria being the type A personality, she wrote these amazing emails to like my circle. This is what Eric has, this is what the doctor says, this is what to expect. And then one message, she said, P.S., Erica says she's taking these titties on a world tour. So be very careful opening text messages because you may see them. And I literally was sending pictures of my titties to everybody. Like, Founders Day, this whole you know, everybody got their Founders Day.
Titties on the Founders Day.
I send a text message to my girls every day, every Founders Day. And I'm like, happy Kappa Founders Day. Send your favorite Kappa some nudes. If you don't have any, hit me up. I'll send you my old titties. Like, literally, I miss my titties. I had took lots of pictures. Women, take lots of pictures of your body. Here, that's another thing. I spend so much time hating my body when now I would go back and fucking give a left arm for that body. I don't think we appreciate our bodies while we're in it. So even if you don't appreciate your body while you're in it, take lots of pictures, naked or otherwise, so that you can reflect upon it.
I like that.
And one of the suggestions that I give to, so, you know, now I'm like the cancer whisperer. Whenever somebody gets diagnosed, they hit me up, which I don't mind. But people always want to know what to get people when they're about to, you know, like, oh, this is happening. What should I get them? I have my standard list, but sometimes people are like, I want something unique. I want something different. I'm like, gift them photos, gift them a boudoir package, gift them naked photos, as comfortable as they are, because your body is going to change and you want to like appreciate it for what it was or celebrate it for it having gotten you as far as it has. Cause sometimes I'd be like, this body. And I'm like, you know what? This motherfucker got me pretty far. So I'm going to appreciate it for scars and all. So yeah. If y'all thinking of gifts, I have the standard list of like cool back pillows and that kind of shit. But if you really want to stand out,
I love that. Session.
Yeah.
I love that. So look, if people want to follow you, are they able to? Where can they do such?
So I have two. So the favorite Erica is my Instagram page. That's my personal page. So you can request me. Depending on how I'm feeling that day, you might get in. You might not. Sorry. I'm going to be fair. Honest. Or you can follow me at _Erica Easter_. Erica Easter was taken. But anyway, _Erica Easter. Erica with the C. Easter like the motherfucking resurrection. And that's like my public sex ed page, which will be kind of, I have a few things brewing that I can't really speak on right now, but follow me there. But also, awesome. If you're interesting, I mean, I'm anti-unsolicited dick pics, but if you think your dick is special and you want to like give it a try, I'd be happy to, you know, look at it if you want to like send dick.
You need to start charging. Oh, I've had enough femdoms on here to know that you charge for dick ratings.
Yes. Oh, I'm not gonna respond unless you like, you know.
Yeah, cash app a little $10.
Something. And then I'll respond. But if you think it's special.
There you go.
Okay. My DMs are open. Ready to be slid.
There you go. Look at that. Well, Erica, thank you so much for letting us get in your business.
Thank you. And this was so dope. I like, again, you're amazing. This is amazing.
No, you are amazing.
Thank you, Buki. Whatever's next for you, be it more seasons or whatever, I look forward to it.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, boo.
See ya.
See ya.
I want to thank our guest, Erica Easter, for this amazing conversation. I hope that you all, when you listen to this conversation, you had some amazing takeaways, not only some good laughs, but to see what it looks like when you face adversity in life's, you know, twists and turns head on, and how it can be beautiful and amazing on the other side, especially after putting up and fighting a battle like Erica did. So Also, be sure to support our sponsors, OMG Yes. And how can you do that and help me out? Just in the link in the bio. Not the link in the bio, the link in the show notes. Just click that link. That helps. Just click in the link. But it also is a great platform. So I hope you check it out. It's some really great videos and instructional things over there on the OMG Yes platform. All right. And if you listen to this episode, I encourage you to listen, subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, YouTube, or any apps that you listen to your favorites on. Don't forget to leave those 5-star reviews. You can leave those 5 stars over in Apple Podcasts and Spotify. All right. Follow us on all social media. Share the episode with those you love, those you don't love, those you fucking hate. I do not do these reels for nothing. All right. Have a dope ass week. I want you all to stay healthy, stay safe, and stay sane. Thank you for listening. And remember, the ratchet in me always honors the ratchet in you. Homaste. Until next time.